It's April in Paris, and although it's a bit chilly for the chestnuts to be in blossom yet, I've come here for the centenary of the birth of Jean-Paul Sartre, philosopher, novelist, playwright, political activist, rebel, lover, and a man who all his life liked to play piano duets with his mother. While I was still at school in the 1950s, I had already bought a copy of his 1938 novel, La Nausée, or Nausea. I didn't much like school, and it was only playing and listening to jazz that kept me sane, so I was bowled over by the fact that the hero of Nausea is only kept sane by a record on the local jukebox of Sophie Tucker singing Some of These Days.
Some of these days, you'll be so lonely. Some of these days, you'll miss me, honey.
This song, Some of These Days, You'll Miss Me, Honey, can be interpreted as the real desire of Sartre in his relationship to his audience, to the world. He wants to be missed by everybody like she sings.
I feel so lonely for you only, 'cause you know, honey, you've had your way.
It is from this song that he builds the character in the novel, that he builds the idea that art can save against the contingency of human existence. And that was Sartre's first firm belief.
That was Michel Contat, a friend of Sartre, who has spent a lot of time writing about him and who has finally explained to me what Sophie Tucker was doing in that book. Although you do get the impression from Sartre's novel that he didn't really know that Sophie Tucker was white and not black. No matter. Details were not important to Sartre. It was the effect. So, what effect did Sartre have on a man of my age who's made a lifelong study of him?
History for me became intelligible, and I owe that to Sartre. And so I started reading his philosophy, and in a way I have professionalized my passion, you know.
You couldn't fail to notice Sartre. His presence is the thing that struck me.
Olivier Todd, veteran journalist, half French, half English, who married the daughter of Sartre's best friend and knew him from the late 40s till his death in 1980.
He had a formidable charm, which doesn't come out, I think, in films. By no stretch of the imagination could you say that Sartre was an Apollo from the Belvedere. But when you saw him, it's a bit of a cliche, but he had the kind of beauty of his intelligence. And I could understand why so many ladies fell for him.
Annie Cohen-Salal never met Sartre, but fell in love with him posthumously, at least insofar as she wrote the big biography of him. And spending all that time on him and with him has not cooled her ardour.
I think Sartre is between Voltaire as an 18th century enlightened figure which confronted the state, and Socrates, a humble philosopher whose lesson in the end is more in the model of behaviour than in the text he wrote. And I think that in this respect, when Sartre disappeared, I think what we lost was an ethical compass, you know, somebody who was, you know, showing a direction.
I'm strolling now in the Luxembourg Gardens, on the left bank near Sartre's childhood home. He was born here in 1905 into a middle-class family. He was only 15 months old when his father died, so he was brought up by his mother, Anne-Marie, and his grandfather, a Protestant from Alsace called Schweitzer, who was in fact an uncle of the famous Albert Schweitzer. Grandfather was an expert on education. He'd written books about it. So young Sartre didn't see as much of school as most children do. And later, in his 50s, he wrote an account of his youth called Les Mots, Words, which is as much fiction as straight memory, but does give a good idea of the child that Sartre thought he was. On page 75, for example, he writes, after he'd had his golden curls cut off, "The mirror told me what I'd always known. I was horribly ordinary. I've never got over it." And on page 92, "Children would be playing on the terraces of the Luxembourg Gardens, and I would go up to them, but they brushed past me without seeing me as I looked at them with the eyes of a beggar. How strong and fleet they were. In the presence of these flesh and blood heroes, I lost my prodigious intelligence, my universal knowledge, and my athletic frame, my ruffian poise. I had met my true judges, my contemporaries, my equals, and there..."